This is the Michael K. Show podcast. Listen live weekday afternoon starting at 3 on 98.7 ESPN in New York, the ESPN app, the TuneIn app, or on your smart speaker.
Hey Alexa, play 98.7 ESPN.
I actually did step outside the shipping container that I do the show at the stadium in. And there were people that had the glasses, so I said, can I borrow it? I looked up. It's kind of cool. It's like,
no, it is.
It's like you look. It's not cool?
No, it is. I went out right at the Apex, which is supposed to be like, what, like 326? And
right. Okay. And that's what I did.
And you stared right up.
No, I had the glasses, and it looked
cool. It's kind of like a crescent moon.
Yeah. But it was the sun. Yeah, and it was cool, and you could see that it got a little darker, almost like a storm was coming in, and it was cool.
Yeah, I mean, people are going crazy. I mean, they're spending so much money to have homes in Cleveland as, you know, like $3,000 for the day just to look up at the sky.
Well, I think it would be different, Michael, if it was a total eclipse. We only got 90%.
Total eclipse of the heart.
I mean, I was going to say, what if it was just a total eclipse of the heart?
I've had that. But I get over it quickly, unlike you guys.
Yeah, you don't even care. Is it really an eclipse? It's for you, it's a lunar eclipse of the heart. It's not special. Can I be honest? This whole thing is whatever. I mean,
Fugazi to you.
Dude, last night I saw The Undertaker choke slam The Rock. Whatever happens, whatever nonsense with the sun happens, it really doesn't matter.
Can I tell you something, Peter? So I'm scrolling through social media. I did watch the finale of Curb, and I know you probably haven't.
I haven't, so I'd appreciate it.
It was terrific. I'm not going to give it away. It was terrific.
All I've heard was that they stuck the landing.
They did. It was wonderful. It was great. I mean, 10 out of 10. And I'm scrolling through, and I see that The Rock is in the ring. There's a video. And then those insidious chords, that means The Undertaker's coming in. And yep. I'm sitting there in my living room, and I just shook my head in disgust. I was there in Orlando when he supposedly died. The whole thing makes me sick.
I know.
Sick, and I say.
And how many years ago was that, Michael? That's five years.
Oh, my goodness. Ten, right?
Not was, 10, but he's back again.
If he's dead, his corpse should be rotting.
I got to say this. And you know I'm no wrestling guy, but there is something to the moment that they always capture. Going back to, you know, the Iron Sheik and Hulk Hogan, there's just that moment. And I saw it on social media, and like when Marco comes home from school, I got to show him this. And when you hear that bell toll and everything goes black, and then the lights come on, and he's standing behind the Rock. Come on, that's cool, man. I am not a wrestling guy. I'm not going to try to sell you on wrestling. But I was really looking forward to having Marco watch that. He got all pumped up. That was a cool moment. They know how to capture moments.
I'll just say this, and I'll hit a couple things during ENN. But I'll just say this. The end of that match last night, where I was standing, Natalie actually she's going to post her photos later. They're amazing photos.
I saw one of them was outstanding.
Yeah, that was a real good photo.
Yeah, she was on the riser shooting.
But she to me, if she took a photo of the side of a cereal box, I think it was tremendous. But go on.
Oh my God.
But we were, the way that me, her, and Dipperstein and some other friends of mine, the way that we were screaming after everything happened along the way until eventually we got to the point when Cody won the title, the level of joy that we have, people could say what they want. It's not a sport. And it's certainly not a competitive sport. It is more fun than anything I have ever consumed. I'm 44, and you just don't have those feelings anymore as an adult. It takes you to a place that's amazing.
What I compare it to, Peter, is like any movie or any television show where there is the revenge factor, where somebody gets their comeuppance or somebody comes back. That always fires you up in a movie, right? It's always a cool thing, and that's what wrestling is able to do. You get caught up in, is it a sport and stuff? That's when you start to kind of...
Well, that's people being lazy. That's the lazy conversation.
But I'm just saying, it's just like any other, you know, a movie or just some kind of redemption. That just, it's cool. They just know how to nail it. And if you take it for what it is, the sheer entertainment value is epic.
But imagine now if that show that you're talking about, Don... It the way it's performed is in front of 70,000 people, and you're like a part of it. You're an active part of it. It's hard to even fully encapsulate. It's amazing.
So we're gonna have a lot of this at ENN. And Peter was there, so this is the
including
place to come.
Including a friend of the show who had a hell of a night last night.
Yeah, I heard. But both friends of the show did very well.
Wait, who's
right, the young lady did great.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, honestly, wow, everyone who came on our show had a hell of a weekend.
Yeah, absolutely. All right, it's time now for Diamond Notes, brought to you by London Jewelers. So this was revealed, I guess it was Saturday or Sunday. Francisco Lindor's gotten off to a terrible start. There's no other way to put it. But he does that. I mean, he starts off slowly. The Mets did take 2 out of 3 against the Reds, so that's a good thing. But his wife, Katia Reguero Lindor, shared Friday night a few of the messages where her family was threatened. She got one private message she revealed that called Francisco a bleeping piece of bleep. And wish, quote, him and your child die screaming. Another message entitled an account, entailed an account calling her a selfish, terrible word that you're just not supposed to use about a woman who should, quote, tell his bleep to work on hitting. What kind of lowlifes sit in their mom's basement and actually write this stuff? Again, and we talked about this at the start of the show. They should be hunted down, and they should be arrested, because you're threatening people. That's hate speech. It shouldn't be allowed, and you shouldn't be able to hide behind the anonymity of an egg so you could just make people's lives miserable. Now, what I would tell all these people, my life has been so much better. Stop reading mentions. I just don't. I on Instagram, there's so many people that DM me or whatever it's called, and I never look at it, ever, ever. So people that are sending me hate, I never see it. So you should save your lactic acid and don't type it out. But imagine that people feel that they could say that to another human being and get away with it just because Francisco Lindor has been off to a terrible start. It's a distressing part of society. The milk is out of the udder. I don't think that we could get it back because social media essentially runs the world now, so you're never going to stop it, but these people have to be held accountable. There has to be something where they pay for these words.
Doesn't it feel crazy, Michael? I mean, people can do, and they can do really scary things too. You hope that it's just words, Michael, because right. Yeah, I know that you don't really think it's likely and that anyone's going to physically harm someone, and maybe it's just, you know, words, but people get doxxed and have all kinds of information released, and it's really sick, and in so many ways it's really hard for people to prosecute in any way. And like I know we want freedom, but like, at what point is enough? Where like these platforms should have some sort of way of filtering out things that are said.
Well, Michael says it all the time. There's freedom of speech, but you can't yell fire in a crowded theater. This goes beyond that. Now, it's easy to just say it's social media, it's some wackos, and 99.9% of the time, it is nothing. These are cowards. They would never do anything. Don't even know how to do anything. But God forbid if something did happen, and then you found out that that person had threatened them on social media and it wasn't followed through and you didn't check it out, how would that look? So for the very least, they should be held accountable for taking everybody's time, because there are times it should be investigated.
I believe, too, you could push back at me if you don't, subscribe to this. I believe that the proliferation of gambling makes it worse. I saw an interview with Jason Tatum. We said, people are getting all over me if I don't score like 20 points in the first quarter, because that was the over-under. And now imagine if you're just a crazed fan and you want your team to do well, so you get upset when your team loses. But now you're a crazed fan, and money that you probably don't have to gamble, you do gamble, because gambling is now available to everybody. And if somebody doesn't hit the over, then you're going to really start to threaten them. I mean, these people, it's part, I guess, of the agreement to be a professional athlete and make all these millions of dollars, that you're going to receive hate from people. Again, it shouldn't go unchecked, though.
Yeah, the reason I don't buy into that, Michael, is this has been going on forever.
But there's so many more people gambling now, Don.
Yeah, but what are you gambling on? If Lindor is one for his first 42, you're probably not betting on him to get a hit. But I really believe it's the fugazi passion that these fans have for their teams. Like, I would bet everything that the person that did that is just a sick Met fans that disgusted that the Mets are off to a slow start and Lindor's off to a slow start more than a guy that bet on him to get a hit or bet on the Mets to win a game and they didn't. Because there is this, and we joke about it with Dave Rothenberg, and obviously I'm not putting Dave in this category, but it seems like we live in a world where the crazier things that you do as a fan make some sort of a statement what a super fan you are. Oh, I quit how many jobs because I don't miss a game. Or I went home and did this or that. I burned a jersey. You're a moron, okay? That's what you are. You're not some sick, crazy fan. You're not a passionate fan than me just because you go out there and do something stupid. So for me, I would bet everything that these are fans that just love the Mets and they're just disgusted that the Mets are losing and this is the way that they vent and this is the way to kind of prove, look how crazy a fan I am. You're not. You're crazy is what you are. Not an actual fan. You're just nuts. Should be institutionalized if you put that much on the success and failure of your team. Because think about it, Michael. It's April.
Yep.
He didn't lose the World Series. He didn't have the goal. He didn't pull a Buckner.
But Gary did say it was rock bottom.
Well,
that is true.
But you know what? And I'm not going to get on Gary, but this is what we do. You know, the sky is always falling. Or, Juan Soto's the greatest Yankee you ever put on the pinstripes. Like, we live in a world of exaggerations, and then we pin it all up to, because I'm just a passionate fan, man, I'm sorry. I mean, that seems like to be your get-out-of-jail-free card. When you act like a moron and you say, I can't help it, man, I'm just a passionate fan. Well, I'm sorry. Can you have some rationale into being a fan that you got to pick up Twitter and you got to threaten the life of somebody's wife because he got off to a slow start? You're right. These people should be put in jail.
They
because
should.
Because you're threatening the lives of people. You get law enforcement involved. Do we really need to have people investigate these yo-yos? But if you don't investigate them and God forbid somebody does slip through the cracks, then what?
Yankees made a move before tonight's game against the Marlins. They signed left-handed pitcher Josh Massajeski, I think that's how you pronounce it, to a major league contract and brought him onto the roster. They optioned Jake Cousins, who didn't pitch well last night. Or yesterday, the Yankees won the game to AAA, and they designated left-handed pitcher Clayton Andrews for assignment. It was so cute, Peter. You would have liked it. Jake Cousins was pitching, and the way the yes bug is, you know, you have the batter on the left, and then right next to it, the pitcher underneath the score.
Okay.
And he was facing Alejandro Kirk. And right up there, right in the left corner of the yes screen, it said Kirk Cousins. Oh, can't make this stuff.
Oh, it's a dream come true for everybody.
It is a dream, right? It's a dream.
Now, I do have to add one amendment to something I said a few minutes ago.
What?
After I completely buried the eclipse, I then did see what Miss Hatton just posted on Instagram. And I will say that my wife did give me a different appreciation, perhaps, for what happened that I did not see. It was
pretty cool.
Did you see the picture?
I haven't seen it.
Go to Miss Hatton on Instagram. She just put it on her Twitter too. But yeah, I was not able to see anything like that. That is pretty dope.
Oh yeah, yeah, great picture.
Nothing. All I got was a shadow. I got nothing.
Well, that's you. That's your problem. That was Diamond Notes, brought to you by London Jewelers.
Sure.
Visit London Jewelers today at any of their 7 locations, including the Americana Mall and the Mall at Short Hills. Now, if you guys would give me a minute. I have to talk about something personal that really infuriated me.
Okay, I love it.
I took Charlie to the game yesterday.
I saw that. You know, the nice, nice picture with you and Paul.
Right. And Charlie sat in the back row, right? And watched the game. He had his iPad, so when he got bored, he could, you know, watch what he wanted to watch.
So basically you just brought your son to work with you.
Thank you, Peter. You set it up beautifully.
Yeah.
So then we had a picture of him standing against the yes backdrop with me and Paul, and we had him holding a mic, right? So I tweeted that picture out. I wish I had saved, and I don't look at what people say because I don't care because most of it's hateful. Not most of it, but some of it. I don't want to say it, but it showed up right there in my eye line as I was looking at the picture I posted, and this lowlife piece of trash, right? And if he's listening, I think you're the worst human being on earth, wrote this. Nepotism at its worst. A son goes to work with his father? It's nepotism? So when my father, who was an electrician, took me to work, and it was exciting when I went to work with my dad, and I would sit there and see him, like, wire up an apartment or whatever, was that nepotism, you low-life piece of garbage? Well, it's not like I put Charlie and he did three innings on the air. How's that nepotism? No, because anybody who takes their kid to work, is that nepotism?
No, this is a really it's not even a functional moron. He can't function. He probably
he's filled with hate.
Non-functional. Is because it's nepotism. I guess he doesn't understand
just attack this guy.
That he doesn't know what nepotism means because he's not actually taking the job. He's not working yet. No, so how could it be nepotism at its worst? Nepotism at its worst would be that him stealing the job from somebody else because Michael had the power to get him to do it. He's just hanging out by the microphone. But Michael, you win. Yeah,
exactly.
This guy's got no shot of accomplishing any. You know how sad that is? You know how sad it is to know that you might spend 70 years plus on this earth and accomplish nothing, never get married, never have friends, never hold a job, die alone.
Yeah, but hold on. I don't know, Don, that we can go as far as we just went. Michael may be somewhat to blame here.
Okay.
The actual post, quite a trio in the booth for today's game. Join me, Paul O'Neill, and Charlie K for the action starting now.
Okay, so...
And Charlie's so holding a microphone.
A functional moron. Are we putting a 9-year-old on the air at yes?
I mean, listen, Ian Eagle's son is... Noah's only 14 years old. So this is very close. Now, to Don's point, to believe that that's what's happening, Don, I think you would have to be a non-functional moron. But maybe they took this literal. It's just Captain Literal Man. By the way, the only thing I can look at in the picture is, with all due respect, this freak, Paul O'Neill. I mean, he's literally the Incredible Hulk.
No, he's actually bursting out of his clothes.
It's odd. I mean, if he showed up to WrestleMania last night, he would have ended up in the main event.
Oh, here's the guy. Here's the guy. His name is John Sinesi. And really, all my people out there, all you Carmi, okay? His name's at Empire, EMPIRE, 41921. And he writes, nepotism at its worst.
So now, after we just talked about how horrible the internet is, you're now sicking your minions on this guy on
the
same
internet?
No,
this guy deserves to know that what he said. I mean, imagine a father taking a son to work, an innocent thing.
Very.
I mean, it to me, it's one of my great moments that I could take my kid to work, whether I was a plumber or whatever. I'm taking my son to work with me. And this guy ruins it by saying nepotism and it's worse. You're the worst.
What about the guy who said hard pass on the Nepo baby and his narcissist father?
That's there too?
Yeah. What was this guy's name again?
William Robinson.
Oh, it's the same guy. He had another one. He doubled up.
Hey, let me tell William and all the people, if, like, when I'm 80 years old and I could possibly help my son get a job, I'm going to try to do it. I'm going to try to do it. Like my father would have tried to get me to become an electrician. I'm going to try to do it. You know, you could open whatever door you want for the kid. If Noah Eagle wasn't good, he wouldn't have the job.
Right.
His name is Will Robinson?
Yeah.
Like from Lost
Danger,
in Space?
Danger.
My guess is, Don, this is not a real name. Considering
narcissistic. How does that make me narcissistic?
Considering, Don, it's a name with a bunch of letters and no picture. My guess is this is not a legit... Yeah.
Maybe you can take your imaginary son to the unemployment line.
Oh, I can't hold a job, Eponymous. That's what you're saying. Hey, you know what's going to make everyone feel better?
I know.
What?
Hey, we're going to vote for a champion right now.
There you go.
That's right. It's time to start it off, guys. We are here. Drop Madness 2024, the championship. And honestly, this could be very heated. We have the Don LaGreca 4-seed from the funny region.
Let's hear it.
Cut his fat ass.
Up against an upstart. No one knew when this happened it would be a 1-seed, but here it is in the championship game, the 1-seed from the nether region.
You know what?
You can vote for Griffin. You can vote for Don. You can do it all. You know, Michael, I looked. Don's Cut His Fat Ass is a 9.5-point favorite. It would be a monstrous upset if we were to see Griffin somehow win in the championship game. But go vote. Twitter.com/TMKSESPN. You know how to find it.
This is going to be... Let's bring in Griffin here and see what his... Griffin, what do you think? What's going to win?
Well, Don is going to win because Don's screaming. We all know Don's... whatever Don does, if he's screaming on the air, he wins. It's won the last something years. This definitely should be the Don Invitational.
But this has substance, this one. This one has a little bit more substance to it, Griffin.
Griffin's in trouble early.
Yeah, early voting in the polls, not good.
Yeah, well, we are going to need a real... It's the people who really believe in you-know-what are going to have to step up.
But you know what, Peter, what bothers me? So Griffin just said something really... I mean, I thought it was insightful, and I agree everything that he said. I said the same thing. Don jumped me like I stole something from Marco's lunchbox, but he doesn't say anything to Griffin.
Well, I'm not going to yell at Griff.
You yell at me.
Because Griff is in the fight. You've decided to side with Griff and devalue mine. I mean, he's got a dog in the fight, so I get what he's trying to do. He's trying to win.
Well, I always root for you, Don. I have a dog in the fight, but you win because you scream.
No, but wait a minute. But I get that. And in most times, you're right. But I think there is some substance to this that people are voting for because it was a fun rant. I think it resonated with a lot of people. And I don't think they've isolated it to me yelling. I think they remember that rant fondly, and they're voting for it.
Yeah, if that's what you feel, that's all right.
That means Michael disagrees. That's unfortunate.
No. I actually think Don's drop deserves to win, but Don has developed a cult following, and this happens in politics, Peter. He's developed they can't hear past, they get orgasmic when Don screams.
Here we go.
What was that? The cult of personality. What was his name again?
What was that, Don?
Who was it, Dean? Who was the guy? The
Howard Dean. Yeah.
So I'm Howard Dean? Didn't work for him?
Because
there has to be some substance, right? I mean, that only gets you so far, Michael.
Oh, correct. Just enlighten me, because I'm not the brightest light. I'm a Nepo father. So can you please tell me?
Great point.
What is the background to that?
The fact that you have to ask is spitting in the face of me and the show.
What? I don't remember yesterday.
Just because you weren't here? It was the Neil rant when he was.
Oh, I wasn't on the show that day.
Don't stop booing him.
Well, the show continues, Michael, with or without you. You know that, right?
That's why I'm not privy to the backstory.
Doesn't that insulting, Peter, that something had happened on his show? He's not privy to the backstory.
It was a big moment. I mean, you got to remember that moment. Come on.
Yeah, but I thought of that rant, right? Boo him should have gone further than this one.
Well, that's your opinion.
Yeah, but no, but that, Michael, that is where the argument is. The louder and the more coarse it is, the more likely it is to go far.
And that's what I'm saying. That's all. I'm not hurting anybody's feelings.
The fact, when he's not on, Peter, he doesn't really even care.
It's unfortunate because it made it all the way to the McAfee show. They aired it.
Unless it involves Michael, he can care less. He could not care less.
That's simply not true.
But simply not true. Then you're going to have to give us some evidence, Michael, because right now the evidence presented says the exact opposite.
Well,
you don't remember a rant?
The days that I'm not on the show because most of the time I'm the pinata and I don't want to get upset at you guys. This time I wasn't.
He said it was on McAfee. Now we got to the crux of it. He wants to be on McAfee. He's upset that I, even though it was on McAfee at Jace, it's still a lot closer than Michael's got on.
I'll never be.
Oh, boy.
I'll never be on, no.
You're unbelievable.
It's
unbelievable.
Be on.
I'll never be on.
Why would you say that? Why would you never be on?
Hoping that somebody will feel bad and put him on.
Yeah, that's exactly what he's doing. He's hoping if he says it in that way.
I'm going to tell you what, Peter. I don't think I would accept now.
You wouldn't accept?
No. I've been around a long time. Never a phone call? No, I'm good.
I mean, they haven't even been around with ESPN that long.
Yeah, but the ESPN people were on his show even before he was on ESPN.
So you're hurt now is what you're saying.
A little bit miffed.
I'll get over it.
I'm good.
Okay.
And I think we're going to take some phone calls when we get back as well.
Oh, we should.
Yeah, let's do that. We have to talk to people. That's coming up in just a moment on Yes and 98.7 ESPN.
Hi, this is ESPN's Mike Greenberg, and ESPN Bet is ready to take you through all the biggest sports moments this spring. The official sports book of ESPN has exclusive offers and markets from Scott Van Pelt, Stephen A. Smith, and me. From the playoff intensity to finally getting out to the ballpark, there's no better time for sports fans. Sign up today, and new users get $100 in bonus bets for making any sportsbook bet. Download ESPN Bet today. What a play.
Must be 21 plus and present in select states. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. Terms and conditions apply. See app for details.
Now, let's talk about the play of the week. The pressure to follow up Hypnotic and Cognac, weighing heavy on the team. Hypnotic was in the cup, blue, and ready for the play. And, boom! Añejo Tequila came in with a smooth assist to Hypnotic's tropical fruit finish. Shaken, strained, poured. It was green and good! The playmaking splash shifted the tempo. Another great cocktail from the Hypnotic team. Every season is Hypnotic and Tequila season. Hypnotic Liqueur, Bardstown, Kentucky, 17% alcohol by volume. Hypnotic reminds you to think wisely, drink wisely.
Tired of ads interrupting your favorite sports podcasts? Good news! Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music, included with your Prime membership. Amazon Music offers the most ad-free top podcasts. Enjoy shows like First Take, Pardon the Interruption, and The Low Post, available ad-free and uninterrupted. To start listening, download the Amazon Music app or go to amazon.com/ESPN pods. That's amazon.com/ESPN pods to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Thanks for listening to the Michael K. Show podcast.
Hey, buddy, hey.
Catch the show on demand wherever you want. Just subscribe to us wherever you get your podcasts.
We've done a lot of talking. We've laid down a lot of groundwork. We've set the buffet. Now it's time for you to dine. We're ready for you. And remember, big ENN today, because Peter is going to break down firsthand what happened at WrestleMania. I can't wait.
And we have over 1,000 votes already.
And you're crushing Griffin.
Drop madness.
Holy crap.
You're crushing Griffin like a pus pimple. That's what you're doing.
Ugh.
The kind that you squeeze and then it goes up against the mirror, that's what you're doing.
What the F?
I don't ever remember that happening. And believe me, I had a lot of pimples when I was growing up.
Did it bother you that you had pimples?
Oh, big time. I took Accutane, Michael.
Really?
I went to a dermatologist that would rub dry ice on my face. They tried everything.
Did Dave have it too?
No.
So he didn't have it and you did?
Yeah.
Wow.
I mean, he had pimples like any other normal kid, but I was, God.
Yeah.
A landmine. It was a minefield on there, and it was really, but I got over it. But might be the reason why I'm awkward around women, right there.
Really?
Yeah, I think
so. It was bad enough that. And how long did this last for?
Probably till maybe sophomore year of high school.
So, like, what? How long a run are we talking about?
Oh, that was the problem. I transferred to St. Catharines. I was in Lincoln School. Went to St. Catharines, and so that was difficult to transfer into seventh grade to a new school. And I was basically, like, without the beard and gray hair, I was, like, this tall. I was bigger. I hit puberty, like, 4 years before anybody else. And it was a mess until, like, sophomore year of high school.
Oh, boy.
That's unlike Michael, that's prime dating years.
Yeah, well, for me, it wouldn't have affected me at all.
Yeah, he wouldn't even know the difference.
Right. It's, you were still able to read the box scores with no problem.
Yeah, filling out the scorecard at the stadium, nothing changed.
We have breaking news. Breaking news. Can I get the sounder, please? Breaking news.
Tell me it's a Griffin comeback.
No. John Cinesi, who said nepotism at its worst, has now tweeted.
Oh, what has he said?
I was an idiot, and I apologize to Mr. K and his son.
Okay.
Really?
Apology accepted, John.
Well, I see. That's Michael doing that's what's right with society, what he did right there. Good for you.
It was an idiotic thing to say, and for that to even pass your hypothalamus and force you to write that out and send it out, you should be ashamed of yourself, but I do accept your apology.
I would like to have a dialogue with this person.
Call in, John.
It still came from a place of hate.
Of course.
Still doesn't like you.
You know what it is? And I hate to say this. They're jealous of the fact that I could take my son to a Yankee game. That's what it comes down to. That guy William Robinson, the same thing. That my job is that I'm an announcer for the Yankees and I took my son to work. They're jealous. But you know what? I can't go on the field with my son. I can't go into the Yankee clubhouse with my son. He can go up to the booth and sit there. That's it. Just like he's sitting with his father at IBM. Not allowed to do the other stuff. It's a workplace.
And all the nepotism stuff that comes out there, and I'm not going to pretend that it doesn't exist and all that. But imagine the pressure on these kids to live up to the expectations. I can't imagine what Noah goes through. Everybody looks at the positive. Well, you know, because his dad is Ian Eagle, look at the job he got. But now he's got to live up to being in the shadow of one of the great announcers of all time. Same thing with Kenny Albert. So you don't think that that kind of balances it out? Yeah, maybe you got an opportunity other people wouldn't have gotten, but you're also dealing with a lot more pressure because the expectations are through the roof.
You know,
and
who can
if you
handle
don't live
it,
up
Don?
To that?
You know who can handle it? Caledonia K. She goes, he ain't all that.
Well, that's not that, right either.
That's how Callie would react. All right, let's go to the phones. Let's go to Danny in Long Island. Let's see how this goes.
Oh, this
Hello,
should
Danny.
Be interesting.
First of all, that guy gets forgiven for a tweet sent out to the world that included your son in it, and
wow.
I'm on the laminated. And I'm
that's
on the laminated.
A,
list.
Oh, it's
you know
a good
what?
Take. It's
that's,
a good
that's
take.
Point God. That's what that is.
Well, I haven't spoken to you since then.
Well, I did call up and I did give a rational explanation. I did not use the word sweeping under the table. I did not say Yankee ball. I said might have handled a little differently. That's all I said. I stand by it. I don't retract it. But it wasn't coming from a place of hate, and I did not think I was attacking your character. So I
well,
just
it hurt
that.
Me to the
and
core,
I said, that
Danny,
you human.
And I'll never forget it.
I, said,
I know how you think about me now. You think I'm a partisan hack? That's okay.
No,
we
I don't.
Can still
I think,
be friends.
I said I think you're, I said I think you're human, and there is no as we've said numerous times, there is no unbiased media anywhere in the world. And that makes Michael human. That's all I was trying to insinuate. Your cohorts blew it up to get a good bit at my expense. But I'd like to thank. I was happy that guy did that because I was off the laminated list, but now I'm still on. But listen, since I've been on a laminated list.
No. First of all, you're not on the list. It's just I'll never forget. You're not. I don't want ill to befall you.
Yeah, there's different stages.
You're a great guy, and I know you love your mom and your sons, and that's important to me. But I'll never forget. You're not on the list.
Well, I need to be on the show because since I've been off, there's been a tragic bridge collapse, an earthquake, and now an eclipse. And if we didn't mend fences soon, there's going to be the 17-year the cicadas are coming out of the ground, and I don't know what happens after that.
You're right.
But
good
listen,
point.
You know, as far as Caitlin Clark is concerned, so many people opening their mouths. Now you have the woman saying she's not going to recognize her record. Who cares what you recognize? Who cares if you're going to recognize Caitlin Clark's record? And
who
you
said
still
that? Who said that, Danny?
The woman. She's all over the news today. I don't know her name. Some past basketball player that announced that she's not recognizing Caitlin's record. But and as far as the other one saying, you know, it's the big time now, that goes for every single athlete that's ever gone from college or minor league baseball to the pros. I always say, I don't care how good of a wide receiver you are, a quarterback, you're now going to play against 11 people who are better than anyone else you've ever played against. That's the same for Caitlin. That's the same for a pitcher coming up, a left tackle, any position. Now, with basketball, it just goes to show you that because you know their faces, they're not wearing helmets, they're very recognizable. And that's and she's going to be the face of basketball, win, lose, or draw. I wish her all good luck. I wish all of them good luck. They're going to make a living. But she should be treated just the same as anybody else. She's getting a lot of negativity because, Michael, these are the same people that are commenting on your thing. They just have to say something negative, mm-hmm. and that's what gets. But that's what gets the headline. If 1,000 people said she's the best basketball player, we're going to hear from the guy from the Boston who said something outrageous. That's going to get the headline.
You're right.
50 years ago tonight, Henry Aaron broke the record. I remember it well because my father bought us chips and dip because he had to go to work. A fight broke out between my two brothers. It was who would control the bowl of pretzels. They started beating the hell out of each other. My mother called them out of the room, and I was the only person who actually soared in my house. It's a great story. But he got lots of hate mail. And you had to respect people back then because you had to take a pen out and write a letter, put a stamp on it, and bring it to the post office. But there was many, many, many more people supporting Henry Aaron that were all in than there were sending him hate mail. The hate mail always gets the headline.
You know what also gets me about society right now, Danny? You see in the newspaper, especially the Post, and Peter knows how I feel about the Post. I love the Post.
Oh, yeah, too much.
But they actually quote nobodies on social media have something negative to say about people. Who are these people? Why do they merit being in a Post, a New York Post story? Oh, on Instagram, blank was killed for the outfit that they wore. Some lowlife that probably that would not address in any kind of situation. It's just unbelievable that these people are getting quoted.
But as far as the players are concerned, it happens in every sport. Remember Goose Gossage with Mariano Rivera, right? Well, in my day, I pitched more innings. I mean, I think everybody is kind of sensitive to the attention that Caitlin has received. I mean, I think that's just human nature. I think that that's always going to happen in sports. When somebody's great, right? LeBron instantly gets compared to Michael Jordan. And I think that's good that there's that healthy debate. But there's always going to be a generation that feels like the new generation doesn't get it. Or, boy, if in my day they would never be able to do it. That comes with sports. It always happens.
Nick in Queens. Nick. Hello, Nick.
Hi, Nick.
Nick.
Come on, Nick. Do the right thing.
Paddywhack. Give yourself a bone. Oh, awful. Let's go to Ken in Connecticut.
Hey, guys. So,
hello, Ken.
Hey, Mike. So I did my first haiku a couple of weeks ago for the very first time. Peter, I understand your hatred for it. Like, I get it. I never really thought twice about it before that. But the reason why I called was kind of a revenge haiku against Trevor. I heard a playback on Saturday. I heard some very not nice things in his haiku from Friday. So I just had a little response. Oh,
okay. Please, are you going to do it in my favorite form of haiku?
Oh, yes. 575, which, terrific. Trevor didn't honor. He wants to talk about, sticking things with inappropriate places.
Right.
You stuck a syllable in a place where you shouldn't have. So technically, you didn't do a haiku. So here you go.
Wow.
Yankee World Sunshine. Go eclipse yourself, Trevor. Get it right next time.
That's it, huh?
That was good, short and sweet. It was good.
Do you know that if I could push a button and change the world, I'd get rid of Ken doing haiku every time he calls.
Well, or maybe haiku is an art form.
Well, it's a high art form that it's above me. I can't appreciate it. I'm not that bright. Let's go to Richard in Manhattan. Richard!
Hi, Michael, Don, Peter. 3 points. Baseball points, Michael.
All right.
Three. Number one, can you talk to Manfred? Let the starting pitcher get credit for a win after 4 innings. It's no longer a 9-inning game anymore. And the emphasis is on relief pitching. They took out Schmidt the other night, 4 1/3. Weaver came in. Weaver pitched half as effectively as Schmidt, and he gets the win. So it doesn't work well anymore.
No. Schmidt earned getting taken out.
What?
Schmidt wasn't pitching great when he got taken out.
Well, Weaver gave
Luis
up two,
Heel
three
pit
runs.
4 2/3 innings in his first start. He deserved to get a win. But I agree with you. It shouldn't be 5 innings anymore.
4 innings. Okay, number two, Jerry Grody died.
Yes.
Jerry Grody caught Seaver, Ryan, Kuzman, Matlack, Gentry, and McGraw. It's about 1,000 wins. Do you realize that Johnny Bench said he was a better defensive catcher than I was? 63 years I've watched Yankees and Mets. He was the best. Better than Posada, better than Elston Howard, better than Thurman, better than Gary Carter, and certainly better than Piazza. Defensively, they'll never be. He was the hub of that 69 team and the 73 team. Harrelson, Jones, A.G., they were good. Seaver, of course, but Jerry Grody was the hub of that team. One last thing, Michael. This 8-2 start by the Yankees, it shocks me. Last year they had the best pitcher in baseball, and I don't think they ever had a 10-game stretch where they were 8-2. Okay, so let me make some deductions from this analytically. You have 162 games, 9 innings a game. That's 1,358 innings. A couple of games go 8 innings because you're losing in the ninth, and a couple games go extra innings. So you figure about 1,375 innings. If Cole pitches 200 of those innings, that's 14% of the innings. That has the impact of just about one batter, like a Joey Gallo, in the lineup, because he's only 1/9, which is 11% of the hitters. So what we're saying now is you're going to have to rethink baseball's starting pitching ace starts. It may be better to get 2 or 3 pitches that can make up for those innings and be decent and not be an ace and pay all that money
in
risk.
I don't agree, and I'm going to tell you why. Because when Gerrit Cole starts, Aaron Boone could save his bullpen for when you've got Nestor Cortez going tonight. That might go 4 innings. And yesterday, Luis Heel going 4-plus innings. No, there's a value to a guy that gives you innings. So if you get 2 or 3 guys that give you 5 innings while Gerrit Cole gives you 7 2/3, I'm sorry, I'm taking Gerrit Cole. That's why he makes all the money. No, Richard, you're wrong. No, you can't just spread it around and give it to guys. Just innings aren't all created equal, Don.
I do think they're overpaid.
I agree with you, but there's a value to a guy who gives you more innings.
Considering an everyday player, I think, can have more of an impact. But when you look at how the games are all connected, especially with lack of days off, to have a guy give you extra innings is huge. I'm with you. The Mets lost a game Saturday because their bullpen was spent. They didn't have any arms.
Right.
And they lost the game. They blew the 5-4 lead in the eighth inning because they just didn't have any other arms. If you got length from Severino, if you got length the day before, then maybe you would have been able to hold off a couple of relief pitchers and been able to salvage that game. So, yeah, not every game. So all the games are connected. So what happened on Friday affected Saturday, which then affects Sunday. So there are times that they affect more than just the game that they started in.
When we get back, Tony Clark, the head of the Players Association, said something. I mean, I like Tony. I knew him when he played for the Yankees. And I know he's got a job to do. Couldn't be more off base. Couldn't be more off base. Talking about the proliferation of arm injuries that pitchers are going through. And the reason that he gave. So ridiculous that it takes away from the real reason. But we'll get into that in a moment. But first, Peter has something to tell you.
Yeah, I do. It's bittersweet, guys. The end of the tournament. But FanDuel lets you make it a little sweeter. Whether you're betting on the favorite or the dog, it's time to go dancing on America's number one sportsbook. Right now, new customers get $200 in bonus bets if your first $5 bet wins. Listen, I'm going with our friend of the show, Dan Hurley. A repeat for the UConn Huskies. You win with them, you win, period. That's $200 to use on point spreads, money lines, or anything else. All right? Anything that catches your eye, just visit FanDuel.com/Peter and bet on college hoops until they cut down the nets. 21 and over and physically present in New York. First online real money wager only. $10 first deposit required. Bonus issued as a non-withdrawable bonus bets that expires 7 days after receipt. See terms at sportsbook.fanduel.com. For help with a gambling problem, call 877-8-HOPE-NY or text HOPE-NY 467-369.
Thanks for listening to the Michael K. Show podcast.
Well, that's awesome.
Looking for more access to the show?
That's right, man.
Check us out on Facebook, Instagram, and Twitter at TMKS ESPN.
All right, so before I get into the Tony Clark stuff, the person who said she didn't accept, you know, what Danny was talking about, didn't accept the record, that is Lynette Woodard. She was at the Women's Basketball Coaches Association's convention in Cleveland. And she said, I am the hidden figure, but no longer now. My record was hidden from everyone for 43 years. I don't think my record has been broken because you can't duplicate what you're not duplicating. So unless you come with a men's basketball and a two-point shot, you know, but just for you so you can understand, so you can help me spread the word. So I mean, that means every record that's been broken by Steph Curry shouldn't exist because, you know, Walt Frazier didn't have a three-point shot. How ridiculous.
I mean, what it sounds like is she's upset that her record wasn't previously talked about, which I understand because the game wasn't as popular. And so my guess is she has just some bitterness about, like, A, it's easier for her to break this record, which may be fair. But also, yeah, it didn't get talked about, but that's not Caitlin Clark's fault.
And here's the weird part, Peter. That Iowa invited her to the game when Clark passed her. And she showed up and she gave her flowers. So they did note that this is the record that's being broken. What more do you want?
It's just jealousy. In some way, shape, or form, it always comes back to that. The game wasn't as popular when I played. I deserve to get this attention. Instead of just saying, hey, all games evolve, right? The NFL used to have a 10-game schedule, 12, 14, 16. Now it's 17. So every record's compromised there. Baseball used to play 154 games, now 162. Everything changes. And usually whoever's record's broken, what do they always say, Michael? I'm hoping that it gets broken. And they're happy for them because there's a new generation that's moving the game forward. Why can't she celebrate? Like, yeah, I wish back in my day it was this popular, but it is now, and I'm grateful somebody was able to take it to the next level. No matter how you slice it, guys, even if the motivation inside her heart seems pure because she's trying to protect her generation, it still comes across as bitter.
All right, the Tony Clark stuff. So he releases a statement. I mean, there's so many people that are having these Tommy John surgery, you know, waiting on Spencer Strider, whether he's going to have it. And it's an epidemic. It's awful. And he said that it's Rob Manfred's fault because of the pitch clock. I mean, Jim Cott posted on Facebook that, well, why don't you put a coffee table behind the pitching mound? I mean, he said it's so ridiculous. He said we used to throw the ball within 10 seconds. There weren't arm injuries like this. There's one main reason why there's so many arm injuries. They're accentuating velocity. And these pitchers realize their way to the major leagues and to stay in the major leagues is to throw as hard as you can for as long as you can until your elbow blows and then you get Tommy John surgery. That is why. That's why. And if you want to throw in something that others have said about the sticky stuff, once you took the sticky stuff away, the grip on the baseball is so hard so that they actually have a grip that it puts a lot of stress on the elbow joint and might be leading to this as well. 18 or 20 seconds between pitches. Tony, I'm sorry. Come back to me. That's not the reason that elbows are blowing out. It's not. Because in the old days, like Jim Cott, get the ball, throw the ball. Get the ball, throw the ball. Whitey Ford, get the ball, throw the ball. Walter Johnson, get the ball, throw the ball. That's not the reason. The only reason Tony Clark's saying that is because the pitchers don't like having to work with a pitch clock. So they're telling him, the head of the Players Association, you got to get rid of this. So he's trying to tie the injuries to the pitch clock. Don and Peter, that's not it. It's the overemphasis on, and from the time they're kids now, in all the showcase games, throwing as hard as you possibly can. The body is not made to withstand that. It's not about pitch clocks.
Now, but didn't this have to get approved by the Players Association?
Yeah, because they want it. They don't like the clock. So they're trying to tie it together. So he comes out and said that's the reason that they had the elbow injuries? It's nonsense.
But didn't they approve it?
No. They're part of the committee, but they don't have the majority of the votes. So Manfred can push through any rule change he wants.
I just don't see how it's tied together, because I heard Howie Rose, you know, tweeting this out too. It's like the game had a better pace back in the 60s. Obviously, they were throwing the ball a lot quicker. It didn't affect them. Let's get to the bottom of what it is. Why do I always feel like when the Players Association snipes at the owners, it comes from a place of just trying to create friction and trying to create something that now you can get something back in return later on, because they hate each other so much. They don't have no respect for each other. They don't trust one another. They need to come together to try to figure out what the problem is instead of just blaming Manfred and the owners for pushing a rule through. And now they're going to focus on that instead of trying to get down to the bottom of what's going on here. And also, I think you're absolutely right. It's the velocity in which these guys are throwing breaking balls that is causing this.
Well, here's a little secret, too. I don't know if you watch the Yankee games on Saturday or Sunday. They were well over 3 hours. They're not speeding it up that much because pitchers can't throw strikes. Yankees take a lot of pitches. They walk a lot. And so these games are not 230. Even last year, When the games like went down to 235 on average, the Yankee games were about 3 hours. Teams that take pitches are going to play longer games. So can you imagine if they didn't have a pitch clock? The game on Saturday would have been 4 hours long. It's lunacy. That's what you're pushing back on. Of all the things, that's what you're pushing back on. Mm-hmm. Why don't you say, let's stop with the velocity. Let's stop preaching velocity. Let's stop them from going to driveline during the winter and throw harder and harder and harder. Don't you think the elbow's going to explode? That's exactly what's happening. The pitch clock. Come on, Tony. Come back to us. Don, if your elbow does blow, there's pain involved.
There is a lot of pain. And those people need to go see our friend, Dr. Jay Shah. He's a double board certified pain specialist. Don't let your neck, back, joint, or nerve pain slow you down from doing all the things that you love. It is time to reclaim your active lifestyle. Call our friend Dr. Jay Shah today at Samwell Pain. Dr. Jay Shah treats joint, neck, back, sciatica, and nerve pain. Dr. Shah also is a migraine and headache specialist. Procedures involve no cuts, scars, incisions, or downtime. Call Dr. Jay Shah to take a non-surgical approach with precise image-guided procedures without pain medication. Enjoy life pain-free. Same day and next day appointments available. Go to SamwellPain.com. Put an end to your pain and suffering today. Why wait any longer? Make your appointment with Dr. Jay Shah. Go to SamwellPain.com now. Regain your active lifestyle. Enjoy all of your favorite activities pain-free. Samwell Pain now has 3 convenient locations in Woodbridge, Livingston, and a brand new office in Englewood to serve Bergen County. Visit SamwellPain.com. You'll wish you met Dr. Shah sooner. Most major insurance are accepted.
Thanks for listening to the Michael K. Show podcast. Hear more of Michael, Don, and Peter live weekday afternoon starting at 3 on 98.7 ESPN in New York, the ESPN app, the TuneIn app, or on your smart speaker.
Hey, Alexa, play 98.7 ESPN.